Well, in the Episcopal tradition, thank goodness, Christmas is not one day. It's 12 days. Like Easter is 50 days. Christmas is 12 days. And I think, I don't know what Carly thinks about that, but it might be that she thinks every day she ought to get a present, right, for 12 days in a row. But anyway, today is day 11 of the 12 days of Christmas, and we still have the tree. We're still singing Christmas carols. The joy is still here. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. But in the middle of that joy comes today's gospel text, and it's kind of an oddly jarring story in the middle of all this joy. The gospel text from today tells the story of King Herod, who, having been told by the Magi that some baby king of the Jews had been born, does the terrible thing of seeking to kill that baby. And some words were eliminated from the middle of the lectionary reading today. The lectionary eliminates them because they're so awful. But Herod, in the Gospel according to Matthew, does go and kill all the young children, the young boys two years and younger in Bethlehem, in order to eliminate any rivalry to his power. The historical record indicates that Herod was a brutal man. He killed his own wife and son. So this kind of slaughter was historically plausible. Well, it's the record of history shows us that it's always the most vulnerable and the helpless, the young and the old, who bear the brunt of systems of oppression in Jesus' time and in our time. How are we to reconcile the joy, the honest joy of Christmas, with stories like that that are part of the story of Christmas? As the year 2014 has ended, we've kind of reviewed the year, and NBC has this website where they have pictures that capture the year. And I was looking at those pictures, and they were incredible. There were pictures of people in those bio safe outfits carrying Ebola victims out of clinics, and there were pictures of protests in Ferguson and pictures of Syrian refugees fleeing on cargo ships. And there was so much there that reminded me of stories like the one from today's gospel that I really had to sit with it and think, how is it that the joy of Christmas can be in any sense real for us today? And the answer is that it is completely possible to celebrate and rejoice because God comes to us in helplessness. No power in the world can defeat God's purpose to join us in solidarity, not in power, but with our helplessness. In our hopelessness, in our weakness, God comes to us and God is with us. God wants to be known by us and to us. In fact, it matters not at all to God who we are, how successful, how not successful, how happy at Christmas or how miserable at Christmas. God comes to us as a baby wanting to be known. And that is the first thing about that story, about the story from today's text, that is at the heart of Christmas that we have to lift up and say, this is cause for rejoicing. God is always with us, and no power on earth can defeat that. But the second thing that I think we can learn from this story is wonderful. And it is something, a detail I don't know if you noticed, but how is it that God showed Joseph that they should flee to Egypt? How did he do that? Yeah, it was through a dream. It's kind of odd, an odd way to lead people, don't you think? What can we learn from that? Actually, in Matthew's gospel, Joseph, like his namesake, Joseph, the one that we remember from the summer, Joseph, whose brothers sold him into Egypt, who had lots of dreams too, Joseph has four dreams in Matthew's gospel in which God shows him what to do next. In the face of all this oppression, Herod, and what in the world to do with this crazy baby, his wife is pregnant, I don't know. God shows him what to do through his dreams, through his imagination. And like Joseph, when we are faced with realities around us that have no reason for hope, where our own resources run very thin, it's then that God shows us through our dreams and through our imaginations what could possibly be a reason for hope. What comes next? The people of St. Matthew's, in fact, have been doing a practice called dwelling in the Word since Blair and Dwight came here, right? And what do we do in dwelling in the Word? We open our hearts and our imaginations to where God might be leading us next. There are lots of people at St. Matthew's through whose dreams God has led them to make a difference in this world. I was talking with Tina Maynard this week, and she told me that she's always had a dream about using education to close the achievement gap here in Minnesota. And speaking of the achievement gap, I don't know if you realize this, but one of the Herods of today, one of the factors of empire in today's world, is that in the Twin Cities, there is an enormous gap between the income and education level and housing and everything else of white and black. This is actually one of the worst places in the country, to live if you're a person of color. And that's so odd to think about, because the Twin Cities is, generally speaking, doing very well. But one of the Herods of today's world is that there is this achievement gap in the Twin Cities. And so Tina Maynard has always wanted to use education to start to close the achievement gap. And a few years ago, she got invited to apply to start a French immersion school in North Minneapolis. And at first she was like, French immersion? Okay, sounds sort of cool. But then she learned that learning a second language really opened students' capacity to engage cross-culturally and think outside the box. And it also made them it also made higher education much more accessible to them. So she started a French immersion school. She and others started a French immersion school in North Minneapolis. That's just one story of many at St. Matthew's. Mike Christensen and Bruce Nerland, a number of years ago, saw an abandoned Episcopal hospital in Minneapolis, and they had a dream to convert it to efficiency apartments for formerly homeless young adults. And that has happened. I have a dream about a building where we have church in one corner and housing for teen parents in another corner, where the people in the church commit themselves to both generations of kids in the building. And I don't know what will happen with that dream, but that's not the point. The point is that God uses our imaginations to show us where to go next when things around us are bleak, when things around us seem hopeless. Well, I promised Blair that I would not reveal what's coming really next week much, but I will tell you that Blair has been collecting dreams from St. Matthew's. She's been paying attention and gathering information from all of us about where God has captured our imaginations. And through the social justice survey and the Sunday evening service survey and all kinds of conversations and faith forums and et cetera, she has been paying attention to where God has been capturing our imaginations. And she's going to tell us, right, all about that next week. So stay tuned. But in the meantime, as we move from Christmastide to Epiphany, I want to invite you this week to a spiritual practice. In fact, we're going to start it right now. So if you have a pen, please get out a pen. As you know, or some of you may know, I'm trained as a spiritual director. And in spiritual direction, you learn to listen on three levels. You listen to everything going on inside you. You listen to everything going on in the people around you. And the third level is you listen for God's voice in all of that. So I want to invite you right now to listen in the silence that follows this sermon. Listen for where God has captured your imagination in the conversations that have been happening at St. Matthew's over the past year. What has captured your imagination? Where have you seen the evidence of God's activity? What are you dreaming about? And I want to invite you to scrawl a few notes about that on the corner of the bulletin pages that we've already done so you don't need them anymore. Write them down, and then tear them off and put them in the offering plate when it comes in a few minutes. It'll help Blair with her sermon next week, right? So help her out. But I'm asking you to put them, these things in words, because it's worth doing. The words of the prophet Jeremiah were one example of God giving a prophet the imagination to envision a different future. I will turn your mourning into joy, said the prophet. Where do you see God giving the people of St. Matthew's a dream? Amen.